Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're looking back on the career of Charles Woodson. We're talking franchise tag. But before we get to those things, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Jen Latta of CSN Chicago, formerly covered the Green Bay Packers. Jen, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, everyone.
Great to have you on the show. Now, Jen, you recently changed jobs, going from the Fox affiliate in Milwaukee, WITI Channel 6, to the cable outlet CSN in Chicago. And we'll talk about the move here in a little bit, but being a Green Bay Packers talk show, we're interested in looking back at your time covering the Packers. And take me back, Jen. How long did you work at Fox 6 in Milwaukee?
So I started at Fox 6 in 2006 in January, so purposefully after the Packers season. I was actually hired in July. But because the higher-ups there knew what a bear and what a beast bear, ha-ha, pun intended, Packers season can be, they wanted me to wait until afterwards just so that I could get acclimated to the city, to the fan base, to the team, and then kind of hit the ground running once the year started in January. So 2006 until this past January, seven total years in Wisconsin covering the Packers.
Wow, that's... It went by fast, just watching from afar on the television. But, you know, what are the memorable moments from your time covering the Packers over these 7 years? Anything that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, God, so many moments, so many memories. I think the biggest one is the saga and the fiasco that we all went through when Brett Favre retired from the Green Bay Packers and openly wept in front of people in kind of a conference room at Lambeau Field, and then changed his mind, and it dragged out all summer long, and the fans booing Aaron Rodgers at training camp, and then tracking the plane that he came in from Hattiesburg back up to Green Bay, and then him watching family night and not being sure what was going to happen with all of that. That's definitely the most unique memory, because it didn't happen on the field, so it didn't really blend in with all of the games that we covered throughout that entire tenure. But we weren't sure kind of which direction the franchise was going to go, and we weren't sure how they were going to part ways with this legend. And then, of course, I was the only one in the building the night that the deal was made. I think it was like almost 11 o'clock at night when the Packers traded Brett Favre. And so I am, you know, stepping on the set saying, breaking news here, folks. We just need to let you know, details still coming in. But, and so that was like the biggest moment of my career as far as Packers go. And there have been so many. I mean, a lot of them have to do with players individually. When Nick Collins was hurt, mm-hmm. and how that would impact not only the defensive backfield, but how that impacted him as a man and him as a provider for his family, and then the decision to not bring him back. I think things like that really stick with me, because they go deeper than plays on the field or outcomes in a game. They kind of resonated more with the fan base, because they kind of showed the human side of some of those guys. And the playoff run, certainly, as they made their way to the Super Bowl. I unfortunately did not get to cover the Super Bowl in Dallas, but from everything I hear, it was just an unbelievable event, albeit, you know, the frozen tundra down in Big D. So that was all just a tremendous experience. I mean, I could go on and on about these moments, but those are the things that really come to mind when I think about my 7 years there.
Well, how about memorable games? Is there any game at Lambeau Field that's maybe more memorable than another? Or, I mean, don't leave it at one game if you don't want to.
Yeah, I think if I think about one game, there are two from my career, and the first is actually before I got to Milwaukee to cover the Packers. I was in Rockford, Illinois for 2 years, and it took a little bit of convincing, but I was able to convince my news director at the time that it was really important for us to cover the playoff game between the Packers and the Seattle Seahawks, which, of course, you know, Packers fans now know turned out to be just this epic, memorable game, and it, you know, goes down in history as kind of that Hasselbeck, you know, foot and mouth moment, and Al Harris's kind of biggest moment as a Packers player. And that was kind of just before I got to Green Bay, biggest moment for me, because I was on the sideline shooting the game, not up in the press box, and I'll never forget just the kind of goosebumps and the emotion that I was going through experiencing that playoff victory. And then even later, I mean, the playoff games always just held so much more excitement. Mm-hmm. And the game that Ryan Grant just kind of bulldozed his way down the field over and over again, I think it was a snowy atmosphere game. I think that those kind of stick with you just from being the playoff atmosphere, the snow that was coming down, moments like that. And then a guy like Grant, who's such a great guy off the field, who we all knew, you know, pretty well in our dealings in the media, to have a breakout game like that. And of course, you know, the Packers not really known for a run game. it was just, I think those are the games for me that stand out the most.
Well, I was going to ask you about the players, and you kind of mentioned Nick Collins. You kind of mentioned Ryan Grant. I mean, are they the best interviews on the team, or which players were the best, you know, interviews or interacting with the media, in your opinion?
A lot of guys in the Packers locker room are really good, but for different reasons. Some guys you go to because you know they're going to fill your microphone with the sound that everyone wants to hear. Some guys, you know, will stand at their locker for the duration of the availability. I think, you know, I'd be remiss not to mention Charles Woodson, who is always so thorough and so thoughtful. I didn't really shy away from too many questions. I can think of probably two times in my entire career that he didn't want to discuss things. One of those topics, I think, being Jay Cutler, after he had already addressed it. I think on the field, I kind of addressed, you know, Jay being Jay, with Pam Oliver, I believe. That was something that maybe after that he thought, maybe I shouldn't kind of rub the lemon juice in the wound here. So he kind of stayed away from that. But otherwise, was always so good about being in depth and explaining, you know, his thought process and the team's thought process, and he would stand there until every last media member had what they needed, or until one of the representatives, the PR reps, you know, kind of ushered him out of there. I always enjoy talking with new players because they don't know any better. It's always fun to see the transition with players when they are so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and excited to tell their stories and excited to be on the team, and then you kind of see this migration to the wily veteran of, I'm not going to answer that. and that's always really enjoyable, not necessarily from a professional standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, because you're seeing the growth not only on the field, but also from a personal level.
Yeah. Tell us about your new gig at CSN Chicago. Now, you've already started, correct? I don't see you.
Yep, I've been there for 3+ weeks already. I'm working part-time, which is actually tremendous as a mom, to be able to spend a little bit more time with my son. But basically, I'm doing a lot of the same things, with a lot of emphasis on hosting. They put out a lot of content at CSN, at all of them, you know, nationwide. And so because we carry the Blackhawks games, the Bulls games, we will carry some of the Cubs games and some of the White Sox games. We have that content on our air, so there are pregame shows nearly every night, postgame shows nearly every night. We have a full half-hour show that's all, you know, local Chicago sports and some mm-hmm. peripheral. The other night I did cover the Charles Woodson situation. We talked about the Minnesota Vikings moving their games outdoors for the 2014-2015 seasons. And whatever the big sports news of the day is, half-hour show at 10:30, and then we'll do a half-hour show at midnight. It's also a half-hour show at 6:30. So it's just a lot of content, and it's a good opportunity to really be very, very localized with the Chicagoland sports, and also, you know, get in there with the teams, because we carry those games on our air. It's amazing. I'm actually only an hour and a half difference between where I worked for 7 years and where I currently work, But from a fan perspective, there's so much venom, it seems, from the Wisconsin sports fans for somebody to be in Chicago. I almost want to tell people, like, you know, it's the exact same stuff, and there's a lot of crossover because it's a lot of the same division, a lot of the same conferences. And so my knowledge of the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, and it all carries over. I'm covering guys like Dale Flame and Jimmy Butler, and there's just so much crossover that I'm really lucky to have be able to use a lot of the knowledge I gleaned over the last 7 years and put it to good use down there.
It, just because I'm unfamiliar, I mean, you know, obviously CSN doesn't carry any Chicago Bears games, and again, just being a football show here in general, I mean, is there like a less emphasis on the Bears there, or is it, you know, the analysis part of it and talk part of it, part of the equation?
Well, you have a partnership with the Bears as well. Obviously, as you stated, they aren't on CSN, but they do have access. It's really nice that they have a relationship with some of the players, and they do have pre- and post-game shows. I think there's a greater emphasis this year on doing even more Bears content because, you know, football is king. And as much as these other sports kind of, you know, right now, obviously our focus is on the NHL and the NBA. And then, of course, when April comes around, we've already got this full slate for April. I mean, between the Cubs starting and the White Sox starting and those other two seasons wrapping up, well, it'll be all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as the season and the summer rolls out, then we'll turn our focus towards the Bears. Because I haven't been there to experience the Bears coverage, I'm not exactly sure how in-depth it goes, but I do know that there is an additional emphasis this year on those pre- and post-game shows. So, again, the great thing about Chicago is there's so many analysts that live in the city, and they are bringing in people. They have a television show on at 5:30 every day, kind of a roundtable type of thing, and they have a lot of voices. They're bringing in people from the Chicago Tribune, from the Sun-Times, from a lot of these publications, and they get rowdy. You know, it's a lot of, you know, one of the nice things about Milwaukee is I think a lot of the media members are very polite and kind and respectful of one another. And that's not to say that there's not respect amongst the Chicago media, mm-hmm. but they get in there. They get after it. And that's kind of cool to watch these guys really defend their positions. It gets a little loud and a little intense, but it's cool to watch.
Well, Jen, let me be, well, probably not the first to say, but I think you did a great job covering the Wisconsin sports scene at Fox 6 in Milwaukee, and thanks for all you've done, and we wish you the best of luck in your new job, your new gig in Chicago.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, I never could have been in the position I'm in currently if it weren't for all the people who helped me along the way. I mean, I was taking suggestions and even silent suggestions throughout my entire career. I would see the way that people went about their business and the way that they handled things and the things that worked for them and the things that didn't work for them. And I was always taking mental notes. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that I didn't get to this place just because, oh, I worked there for a long time and my contract expired and it was time to move on and this opportunity presented itself, because a lot of people in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee particularly were willing to take me under their wing and show me the ropes, and that has helped me to succeed.
Very good. Well, Jen, once again, best of luck in all you do. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, reflecting on your time covering the Packers, and let's talk again sometime.
Okay, Brian, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Jen Latta, formerly of Fox 6 WITI in Milwaukee, and currently of CSN in Chicago, now covering the Chicago sports scene, you name it, from the White Sox to the Cubs to the Blackhawks to the Bulls to the Bears, and probably college teams in between, and who knows what else. It's great to have her on the show. We've had, I know, Jen Latta on Packer Transplants before. I think this is the first time we've ever had her on Railbird Central, but great to talk to her as she moves from covering the Packers to covering the Bears. But let's get to talking about the Packers here. There's a lot to get to today. And this, of course, is the first day we've had Railbird Central since the Packers have released Charles Woodson And Jen Latta just got, you know, through reflecting on her memories of Charles Woodson and you know, his interviews and how he never really shied away from his opinions and talking. And I did think it was hilarious, actually, that he did shy away from one question about Jay Cutler. And I remember that this past season where he was just like, you know, it's Jay being Jay. And how he kind of regretted saying that on national television on Fox. But that's kind of interesting. I didn't know that. I find that rather funny that Charles Woodson later had kind of backed away from that question. So, yeah, probably wasn't the best thing to say publicly, even though everybody knows it. And again, that's just one of the things everybody knows. That's JB and Jay throwing those interceptions, and you don't have to rub salt in the wound with him. But anyway, Charles Woodson, folks, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I've said this already, but I said it on Friday after he was released. And the very first thing, you know, being an analyst, I had to let people know that this move, you know, was not really unforeseen with Charles Woodson. His salary cap figure in excess of $9 million was just unmanageable at his age. I think Charles Woodson is 36. I think he'll be 37 by the time next season starts. And at that age and at his production level in 2012 and coming off two broken collarbones, you know, he was not going to play at least at that contract this season with the Packers. I knew that weeks ago. There were basically two questions. Either would the Packers restructure his contract or would they release him? And, you know, it probably was more likely that they were going to release him because, I mean, what, Charles Woodson wasn't going to accept the NFL's veteran minimum, you know. He wasn't going to go that low. So, I mean, you were still looking at a contract, you know, what, maybe Charles Woodson would have accepted, you know, $5 million contract, you know, restructure, whatever. And even that, probably the Packers weren't willing to pay $5 million for a guy whose career is on the decline. So I want to make sure that fans understood that. But at the same time here, and perhaps this should be even talked about first, Charles Woodson is my favorite NFL player of all time. That's not hyperbole. That is who I think I've had the most fun watching over my lifetime than any other NFL player. Now, certainly I'm biased. I'm a Packers fan, admittedly. You folks know that. So, of course, a Packer is going to be my favorite player. I am a defensive back during my playing days, which are not notable. But because of that, it makes me want to watch defensive backs. And I think the guy who has just influenced me, who I've, you know, I don't want to say maybe look up to, because, you know, when I was playing, he might have been playing at the time, but, you know, I don't think I really looked up to Charles Woodson during my playing days just because I was young, he was young. But since that time, just admiring the way he played the game, he did in his prime, Charles Woodson did everything you want an NFL cornerback to be. And certainly the skills declined over time, and it's maybe almost hard to go back to that now because you're just caught in the moment. You're trapped in what Charles Woodson is now, where he's lost a step. He never plays the perimeter corner position anymore. But, you know, in his prime, think back to 2009 when he won the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year award. Go back to year the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010 and what he did. What he did his whole time in Green Bay since signing in 2006 as a free agent. You know, of course, the most memorable are the interceptions. And, you know, he took back many to the house. In fact, he's right up there with the close to the most interceptions returned for touchdowns in NFL history. He's not the top. I know he's not number one, but he is like second, third, fourth on the list. He's right up there. And, you know, there was kind of for a while wondering, you know, could he do it? Could he become number one of all time? And I don't know, maybe time's running out on him, but, you know, he says his time isn't done. He wants to play for another team. He very likely will sign with somebody else and probably a contender at that. So, you know, there's still a chance, but I mean, you know, that's what you remember Charles Woodson for. Taking those interceptions to the house. And but on top of that, what I loved, because I was a defensive back, was he was such a complete player. He was such a tough defensive back. There are very few who were tougher than Charles Woodson, and how he played that slot cornerback position and would just, because he was playing toward the middle of the field, he was always in the action, and he was never afraid to stick his nose in there, take on running backs. He was never afraid to blitz and just go all out and just lay out to hit the quarterback. That's what made him the complete player. The way he could bait quarterbacks and he had those instincts but at the same time, he played with a physicalness to his game. And that's why I loved Charles Woodson. That's what I loved about watching him on Sundays or whatever day of the week it was. And of course, I think he'll always be remembered in Green Bay for being a leader, being a captain, voted as the team's postseason captain, one of the team's postseason captains for several seasons in a row, and giving the Packers that memorable speech. Now, if I'm correct, this came after the NFC Championship game win in 2010 over the Chicago Bears, in which Charles Woodson reminded the team of one mind, one goal, one purpose, one heart, which is the title of today's Railbird Central, as you can see at the top. A saying which is the inscription is inside the Packers' Super Bowl ring. That's how indelible that speech was, how moving it was. That'll be forever remembered in Packers lore and Packers history, that speech and being a leader of the team and how he inspired his teammates. And those are the things I'll remember about Charles Woodson. Charles, thanks for the memories. It's sad to see you leave the green and gold. I'll cringe seeing you play for another team as much as it's your right to do it. And I realize he played with the Raiders before the Packers, and that's just the way things are in professional sports. But certainly a great, I think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt about it in my mind. Again, I'm biased. But I don't, maybe he's not like a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know. But he's Hall of Fame material. And he's awesome. He's awesome. Thanks, Charles. I admired the way you played the game, and from all appearances, a good person to boot. He raises money, I know, for that. He's made millions of dollars in contributions to at his alma mater in Michigan, the Children's Hospital over there. I think it's called the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. He has his own wine company. As a wine drinker myself, I've never had Charles Woodson's wine because they're like over $100 a bottle. They do make very limited quantities, and that's why part of the reason it's so expensive. But I know, you know, part of that money also goes to charity with like every bottle he sells. So that's also a good thing there. So, anyway, that's kind of our remembering, Charles Woodson on this episode of Railbird Central here today. I wanted to get to one other topic here as we kind of run out of time on today's show, but, today, Monday, what was the date? February 18th. Very first day teams can place the franchise tag on unrestricted free agents. As far as it, the Packers go, there is one player in which the Packers could possibly place the franchise tag. And we talked about, did we just talk about this on Friday? Maybe it was last Wednesday. We talked about this. Greg Jennings in the franchise tag and the likelihood of it. And, you know, while it's not likely, it's not necessarily out of the question either. It's something to pay attention to, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I can't see the Packers placing the franchise tag on Greg Jennings. The only reason I think that they would do so is to pull off the old tag and trade move. And it seems like we talk about this every year here on Railbird Central as well. The old tag and trade. A move not very often done in the NFL, although the Packers have done it. I mean, what are we going back to 2007 now when they used on Corey Williams and traded him to the Cleveland Browns for a second-round draft choice. And that's what the Packers could do with Greg Jennings. But in order for that to happen, there has to be several teams very highly interested in bidding for him. Because if there's really not that much interest in Greg Jennings, you know, a team isn't going to want to give up anything. They're not going to want to give up, a second-round draft choice when they can just wait till free agency and not have to give up anything, you know, let alone a second rounder, you know, or anything like that. So that's why it's highly unlikely. Now, if there were a lot of teams out there clamoring for Greg Jennings, you know, if the Seahawks and the Dolphins and the Vikings and the Patriots were all interested, and maybe more teams, well, then, you know, that's a different story. Then maybe the Packers could get a second rounder for him. But as it stands, they'll probably just wait till he leaves via free agency. They'll probably get a comp pick in return. So that's what would happen. I see the questions on the live blog from DJ Protege. What's the price on his tender? $8 million? And Jamie says it's basically approximately $10 million. She has a figure of 9.521 million. At which DJ Protege asked, the tender would be the averages of the top five wide receivers. You know, that's the way it used to be in the NFL. There was a formula where it was the average of the top five players at that position. And apparently that's not the case anymore, although it is still in that neighborhood, still in that vicinity of the top five average wide receivers. So I don't even know what the formula all entails, but it's weird. And but generally for the purpose of conversation here, it's basically in that realm of the top five wide receivers. So folks, I just don't think it's likely. We could sit here and talk about it, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I just think, you know, in a couple weeks, Greg Jennings is going to leave in free agency, and that'll be it. That's that. His time in Green Bay will come to a close, and the Packers will probably get a compensatory draft choice in return. Now, albeit, once again, that comp pick won't come until 2014. Not this draft, but the next one. So that compensation is kind of on the horizon and a ways away. That's the way it goes. So he will not be a Packer for long, in my opinion. So, but I mean, we'll wait to give the eulogy on Greg Jennings like we did with Charles Woodson today. We'll wait until he officially leaves to do that. You can hold out hope. Maybe there's a chance he signs with the Packers, but I'm doubting it. I'm doubting it. The Packers just don't have the room. We talk about this every time. They got to sign Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji to extensions. On top of that, they got, other unrestricted and restricted free agents to sign. If they want to sign anybody else from another team, which I think is doubtful, but you never know, they need money. And that's not going to happen if you're going to sign Greg Jennings to a lucrative contract. I don't foresee the Packers using the franchise tag or the transition tag for that matter. That's even rare. I think in order to use the transition tag, you also have to use the franchise tag first. I think that's how it goes. A lot of teams do use the franchise tag, but you invest so much money into it, it's almost hard to then place a transition tag on somebody else and then pay everybody else on your roster as well. Maybe if you're blowing things up and you're in a rebuilding year, you can do those kind of things. But if you're in a rebuilding year, why do you have people on your roster that you want to give a franchise and a transition tag to? That would be the question. But yeah, DJ Protege on the live blog says, while the Packers are young, just two players over the age of 30. There's a youth movement going on in Green Bay now with Donald Driver retired, Charles Woodson released, Greg Jennings possibly leaving. Yeah, I mean, the most tenured player on the team, Aaron Rodgers. I guess tenured, right? Maybe not the oldest. I know Ryan Pickett is up there for among being the oldest now. Packers becoming young. I mean, they were a young, fairly young team to begin with. But now this is going to ensure they're going to be one of the younger teams in the NFL. But they've had success doing that. They've been young and been successful. That's not necessarily a bad thing in the NFL. I mean, you have to have a core there of veterans, and certainly, Aaron Rodgers is the heart and soul of the team. And again, there was a question asked at the NFL Network. Is the window closing on the Packers? Perhaps you saw that over the weekend. It kind of got went a little bit viral on the internet, and not a big time or anything. But as long as the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, as long as the Packers have Clay Matthews and they're healthy, I don't think the window is closing. And as long as they're in their prime, I might change my mind if the Packers still have Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews a decade from now and they're on the downside of their career. But for the time being, the window ain't closing on the Packers. Now they just need to find some good players and hopefully draft some good players. They need Pro Bowlers. They need to replace, ex-Pro Bowlers like Charles Woodson and Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, with new Pro Bowlers. Add to what the Packers already have in Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, and company. So that's going to do it, folks. Hey, it's Monday. We'll be back again on Wednesday here on Railbird Central. That'll be it for this week because I'm heading to Indy for the NFL Combine. So I'll be there on Friday. Not going to be able to do an episode of Railbird Central in the morning, but. You know what, folks, I'm going to try to provide you with as much reading material as possible while I'm there and sharing thoughts from the players and conducting interviews, stuff like that. So I'm not going to try to jilt you by any means. So make sure to Stay tuned for your Packers news needs all week long here at Cheesehead TV, including the NFL Combine later in the week. So we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of JB Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. Thanks to Jen Latta of CSN Chicago for joining us on the show today. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Sure.